You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Democracy, elections, the European Union, big change or... I welcome Judy Dempsey, the editor-in-chief of Strategic Europe. This is the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace. She's in Berlin. And for many months now, Judy's been guiding me to understand that there's change coming in the European Union as well as in the individual governments of the 27 nations that make up the European Union. The vote seems to be indicating there is strength in the so-called far-right parties. It requires interpretation, but in any event, that's the agreed-upon modifier. Far-right parties of individual countries. Alternative for Deutschland is the German. National Rally is the French. Vox is the Spanish. There are others, the Brotherhood in Italy. Right now, however, we take the results of the European Union that aren't definitive, the center held, but there's new wind at the back of the far-right parties. And so Judy's going to help me go through the major issues that face the European Parliament. It doesn't have power over everything, like foreign policy, the way a Congress would. It does, however, have a lot of very strong voices for change, and the change can look challenging to the assumptions made by NATO, by the European Union, by negotiation with countries such as the Mercosur Alliance of Trade. Judy, a very good day to you. I begin with the Greens, because it appears that the Greens in Germany have had a setback, but the Greens overall are dependent upon green tech and transformation and sacrifices made by the public. The understanding here is that the far-right parties are not sympathetic. Is that accurate, Judy? Good day to you.
Good day, John, and thank you for having me on your show. Well, the Greens were certainly cut back in size in the European Parliament. And their green agenda and their support to combat the deterioration of the climate, it took a heavy hit. So now we have a situation in the Parliament, while the centre, as you say, did hold. It's really something your listeners have to remember, that while the Parliament doesn't have these powers, what is very, very interesting is the role of the Council. The Council consists of the 27 member states. And the 27 member states now are a very mixed bunch of governments across the European Union who will actually be influencing policy and making policy and will come into collision with the European Commission, which is the executive. So you have this triangle of the Parliament, which will put pressure on the Commission. You have the Commission, who depends on the Council, and of the Council, whose member states now will flex their muscles on certain controversial issues.
And those controversies begin with Green. And I want to emphasize here that Green is not sidelined, as if I read correctly, but it is to be freshly challenged. Now, you mentioned the European Commission, Ms. van der Leyen, looking for re-election or continuation in that role. The European Commission, is it understood as having accepted the green transformation underway in the whole of the EU, or is it... Has it allowed individual countries to come to the makeover of their energy needs individually and not imposed by Brussels?
Yes, indeed. The national governments actually don't want to be told exactly what to do with the green agenda and this Green Deal, and they're looking for opt-out clauses, they're looking for longer periods of time to implement these massive, huge revolutionary changes in how the climate is organised, how business is done, how agriculture is done, how consumer spending is organised, how supermarkets label their goods, how waste is disposed. So these are all issues. And of course, don't forget the coal industry. So all of these issues play into the new elements in the European Parliament, and von der Leyen now will be forced to backtrack on some of these. And it's already happening even before this election.
I note, and this is observation from the outside, things will change. There are 720 members in the chamber, majority rules. However, right now, the estimate is that the centers, the socialists and the liberals, who are agreeable to each other, have 400 seats. And that is not regarded as a successful majority for reasons that don't immediately come to me. But in any event, I'm following the reporting. So the explanation is that Ms. von der Leyen can reach out to the Greens, who were set back, can reach out to Giorgia Meloni of Italy, who is identified as far right. However, that brings in other problems. In other words, there are members of the liberals and socialists who won't work with the far right whatsoever. So what we're describing here, Judy, is a train crash. Is that the way to understand this until they sort it out?
I don't think the newly elected members, and some of them are older members of the European Parliament, want a train crash. It would look badly for them. It would look badly for the standing of the European Parliament. So what we will see is, to avert a train crash, there'll be a lot of secret horse trading and deals and so on. There's no doubt that von der Leyen is in a quite difficult position, because if she does actually depend on Prime Minister Meloni of Italy, well, she will alienate, as you mentioned, some of the other parties. It's going to be extraordinary horse trading, which will regard financial incentives, which will regard votes. And what your listeners must understand, this is about the future composition of the commissioners of the European Commission. There's going to be such a tussle over who's going to be commissioner for enlargement or for industry or for economy. It's going to be unseemly, and it'll be trashed out on the one hand secretly, but also publicly, because there'll be leaks. But it's not going to be a very pleasant 3 or 4 weeks, indeed 2 months, especially given the unstable background taking place in France at the moment, with the call by President Emmanuel Macron to hold snap elections to the National Assembly or Parliament.
Oh, you're ahead of me. Let's get to Macron right away. Judy just explained, the President of France, who is term limited, he has 3 years left on his two terms, has called for national elections. And this is particularly to France. And so my understanding is those elections will be held before and after the British elections. It's going to be a lot of electioneering going on over these next weeks. And Mr. Macron risks having a divided government, which I believe the French word is cohabitation. He would represent one party, and the possibility is raised that Le Pen and the National Rally represent the other party. Is that good for Europe, Judy? Let's ask.
Okay.
A divided French government, is that a threat?
Well, frankly, divided French government is nothing new in France. Cohabitation, coexistence, it's been on and off for many, many years in France. It's debilitating for the president. It does limit any kind of reforms or policies he or she wants to introduce. But it's difficult, but they manage it. And the one thing you have to remember is that if Marine Le Pen, her far-righting party, does very well in these snap elections to the National Assembly, this is a lady that wants to be president. And this is a lady that is not going to cause too much trouble. This is a pragmatist who's trying to win over investors, trying to reassure industry, trying to reassure the lobbies, at the same time trying to keep on to her voters, that this is not a lady that's going to take France out of the EU. No, this is a lady that wants to be pragmatic, but use the EU to have certain changes. But it's all going to be very interesting. My point is that even if Macron's party does so badly in the polls, and this will be a real green light to the future presidential elections. As you said, Macron can't run. Marine Le Pen is not going to be disruptive as one would think.
Ukraine. Is there any predicting now about what this change in the parliament at the European Commission means for continued support, promised support for the Ukraine war fighting and the Ukraine rebuilding?
I think this is a very important timely question because as we speak, there's an enormous conference taking place in Berlin. 2,000 representatives from business, from investors, banking, reconstruction, civil society, water, energy, in here in Berlin, deciding on how much funds will be required to rebuild Ukraine. And von der Leyen, the president of the Commission, is very much committed to Ukraine. Parts of the Parliament, the European Parliament will be as well, but it also depends on the national countries. And we're talking about Germany, we're talking about France, we're talking actually about trying to sort of play three simultaneous issues together: resilience, recovery, and the war, plus, of course, diplomacy and peace. And this is what this conference is about, how you bring them all together so that one will not be isolated from the other. They're all dependent. And I do think support for Ukraine will continue.
Trade, especially the Mercosur alliance, which is under review always, and trade with other parts of the world. The reason I raise that is because my understanding, and I don't have deep knowledge on this, I just read headlines. The agricultural sector of all of the European countries, but especially France and Netherlands, are a small part of the GDP, a large part of the argument. Do you anticipate them getting even larger in refusing to cooperate?
In terms of percentage of GDP, the farmers and agricultural lobby is being reduced. They do take a share of the European Union budget, about 21%. But this is the last sort of, how would you call it, assault or battle against these trade deals. Because the point about the Mercosur deal, this is an EU trade deal with the countries of Latin America, it's about lifting tariffs for meat, for certain products and other issues, and giving the EU access as well. And so there's a kind of win-win for some, but a lose-lose, especially for farmers. But Mercosur is on hold after so many years of discussing it. It was dropped, it was defeated, it was stopped several months ago. It's going to be difficult to see how this would be revived in the short term, because what's happening now with the composition of the European Parliament and the member states is the growing role of protectionism.
China, the headlines in the Financial Times within 24 hours are that several European private enterprises are looking to augment their supply chain so that it's not entirely dependent upon China. That can be a way of explaining getting capital out of China because of the difficulties of the economy there now and going forward. Do you expect this far-right steps in the European Commission or the European Parliament to affect the bilateral deals with China?
Well, the far-right is rather sometimes pro-Chinese. And we saw how the German right-wing party, the AfD, Alternative for Germany, they were involved in spying for China. So, I mean, they have it's not even ambiguous towards China. They're sort of susceptible towards it in some ways. But the very interesting thing about these far-right-wing parties is, what do they really concretely stand for, whether it comes to Ukraine, whether it comes to Russia, whether it comes to China? Leaving aside this, the big industrial lobbies here in Germany and across Europe, they are very, very worried about increasing dependence on the Chinese market, economy withstanding or not, and they do want to diversify, and they're looking further afield to do this at speed as well.
I'm speaking with Judy Dempsey of the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace. She's the editor-in-chief of Strategic Europe. She's very generous to comment on these large issues as we anticipate much lobbying ahead in the European Union And you know, they're going to nod towards whatever happens in the UK on July 4th, whatever happens in France on July 7th and before. We're going to turn, however, to the question of migration when we come back, because that dominated the conversation before the vote. What does it mean afterwards? This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Truth is, Ohio, when it comes to broccoli salad, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. You know it, your neighbors know it. Heck, everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows it. That tangy zip of Miracle Whip is the reason why Ohio's broccoli salad runs circles around everybody else's and never gets winded. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip right where it belongs in all your favorite recipes. Buy Miracle Whip at your local grocery store and get your tang on, Ohio.
This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.